Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. The creation of the fourth order. Chapter 17, Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth, text number 30. Yenahamatmayatanam virnirmita.
Yenahamatmayatanam virnirmita.
This is a little tricky, this meter. Okay, there we go. Not that one. Yenahamatmayatanam virnirmita. Saga Sangraha Saiva Nam Hantum Udayudha Sarat
Saiva Nam Hantum Udayudha Sarat
Upastito Yam Sharanam Kama Asraye
Upastito Yam Sharanam Kama Asraye
Yenaham Atmayatanam Vinirmita Saga Sangraha Sa Eva Mam Hantum Udayudha Swara
Sa Eva Mam Hantum Udayudha Swara
Upastito Nyam Sharanam Kamasraye
Upastito Nyam Sharanam Kamasraye
Jinaham Atma Yatanam Vinirmita Sarga
Sangraha
Sa Eva Mam Hantum Udayudha Swara
Sa Eva Mam Hantum Udayudha Swara
Upastito Nyam Sharanam Kamasraye
Upastito Nyam Sharanam Kamasraye
Yena
Yena
By whom?
Aham
Atmayatanam,
resting place
of all living entities,
Vinirmita,
was created Hatra by the Supreme Lord, Yataha, on account of whom
I am
this. Gunasarga Sangraha, combination of different material elements. Saha,
he.
Eva,
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Mam,
Mam.
Me. Antum. To kill. Udayudha. Prepared. With weapons. Swarat. Completely independent. Upashtitaha.
Now present before me.
Anyam.
Other.
Sharanam. Shota.
Come.
Unto whom?
Asraye.
I shall resort to. The planet Earth continued. My dear Lord, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities. And therefore, you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet, you are always fully independent, my Lord. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know where I should go to take shelter and tell me who can give me protection. Purport. The planet Earth herein exhibits the symptoms of full surrender before the Lord. As stated, no one can protect the person whom Krishna is prepared to kill. And no one can kill the person whom Krishna protects. Because the Lord was prepared to kill the planet Earth, there was no one to give protection to her. We are all receiving protection from the Lord, and it is therefore proper that every one of us surrender unto him. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66, the Lord instructs, Saravat haraman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yeshyami ma suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, my dear Lord, whatever I have, even my mind, the center of all material necessities, namely my home, my body, and whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender unto you. Manasa deho geho yogi tu mora. You are now completely independent to act however you like. If you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can save me. In any case, I am your eternal servant. And you have every right to do whatever you like. Okay. Om Agana Timirandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dharati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulam Gayate Girim Yakripa tamaham bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Everything belongs to Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Sarva Ara Sarva Britya. Yes, Ara Sarva Britya. Everything belongs to Krishna and we are his servants. And so it is incumbent upon us to act in that fashion. And here we're saying Bhumi acknowledging her relationship with the Lord. The first thing she says is that even though I am the resting place, here we go. Aham Atma Ayatanam. I am the resting place of all living entities. So Bhumi is certainly a very important personality. And why we respect the earth. Because it's what the earth is what maintains us. There's no, it's not a coincidence, or certainly it's important for us to appreciate the form of Mother Bhumi in the form of a cow. What's a symptom of the cow that makes the cow worshipable? What's a symptom of a cow that makes the cow worshipable? Anybody like to say?
She gives milk.
She gives milk. Yes, will freely give milk. Of course, you've got to look after the cow. That the earth freely gives commodities, right? If it wasn't for the earth, then we wouldn't have food to eat, for example. Of course, we require rain. That's why sacrifice is so important. Yajna is so important, because by yajna comes the rains. The rains then produce the grains, and then from those and other byproducts, And with those byproducts, we first of all offer them to Krishna. This is the process for, and those offerings are the cause of prosperity for everybody. So the earth is worshipable. Yet in this particular situation, Bhumi is not reciprocating. The sacrifices are being performed, but she's holding back. She's not happy for one reason or another. Even though the earth is worshipable, because she's not performing her duty, and of course that duty is prescribed by by Krishna, by the Creator. Each one of us has a part to play in the role of the construct of things. Each one of us has a part to play. Self-realization means understanding who we are and what our relationship is with Krishna. This is the purpose of self-realization, is to know who we are and then what role we play in the cosmic creation. And as I said previously, all of us are a servant. Bhumi is a servant. We are servants. Krishna is the controller and we are the servants. And as servants, we should be performing our duties in awareness of who we are and what our relationship is with Krishna. And then understanding what that relationship will then determine what we do. What we do, right? This is why the age of Kali is a very confusing situation, because nobody's aware of what they should be doing. And in fact, they'll do sometimes the opposite of what you would expect them to do. Everything is topsy-turvy. So So Bhumi's making the point. You've created the material energy, which is and is made up here, or it is meant here, guna saga sangraha. You've created the combination of material elements, the three modes of material nature, the basic ingredients of the material energy come from God. Right? They're manifest for some period of time, created or manifest. They stay for a while and then pull back in to the form of the Lord in Mahavishnu. All of the universes come out of the pores of the skin of Mahavishnu when he breathes out, and then when he breathes in, everything comes back in again and is absorbed within his body. This is how the material energy is created. Not a big bang. From nothing comes something. Nothing. Nothing can produce anything, because nothing is nothing. So the creation has to come from somewhere. From something. Something has to come from something. not something come from nothing. Otherwise, if something comes from nothing, that means nothing's not nothing, it's something. This is too simple for people to understand. It has to be more common. But actually, it's very simple. And how does he do it? It comes from the Karana Dakashaya Vishnu, who manifests all of the various universes in seed form. They expand. Then he enters again into the creation in the form of the Garbha Dakashaya Vishnu. And then from his navel sprouts a lotus flower, and within that lotus stem, all of the planets and the universal affairs are manifest. And the gross elements and the subtle elements of the material creation manifest from that process. So he's the master. He's the controller. Upadrashta Anumanta Cha, the overseer and the permitter. Huh? There's somebody in control. We like to think that we're in control, but actually, Krishna's in control. And it's interesting. Bhumi was not surrendering, but when she's threatened with death, then she becomes very compliant, right? You know, there's a saying, there are no atheists on the battlefield, right? When a bomb's about to go off and blow you up, then everybody's praying, oh God, help me, right? So, Bhumi is surrendering. When we realize our insignificant and dependence on the Supreme, then we'll start offering fervent prayers of surrender. You have no other choice. And of course, that's all of the time in reality. When is the moment to surrender? Yeah, well, right now. When's the best time to surrender? Right now is the best time to surrender. Maharaj Parikshit got a death notice, right? He was told, you're going to die within 7 days. So he used his time most efficiently, most effectively, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So, anybody here know when they're going to die? We're all going to die. Anybody know when they're going to die?
One day.
One day. Right, but in the future, right? Yeah, we don't know when we're going to die. It could be in the next moment. Right? That's why we should take advantage of Maharaj Parikshit's example and be attentive to every detail of what we're doing. Especially we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. You know, this is why it's recommended that we hear and we discuss the Bhagavatam on a daily basis, because it keeps us focused on the necessity to be surrendered at every point in the day. Because we never know when we're going to die. It could be in the next moment. So one should be attentive to the details of surrender at every moment. And that's why we study the Bhagavad Gita, is to understand this process of surrender. Why is Bhumi being threatened? She's a woman. And dharmic injunctions tell us that a woman should be protected, that women should be protected, respected and protected. And she's in the form of a cow. A cow should also be protected. Respected and protected. So why is it that Maharaj Prithu is threatening to kill her? Why? What is she doing that even despite dharmic principles, Maharaj Prithu wants to kill her?
He's holding back.
Yes, he's holding back. But what's that indicative of? Yes, Ramati?
Neglecting her duty.
Sorry?
Neglecting her duty.
Yes, she's not. And what does that mean?
Cruel.
Huh?
Selfish.
Cruel, yes. But also, what does that mean? Here she's described as Swarat. She's talking to Maharaj Prithu. She's saying, Swarat, you're independent. Upastitonyam, you're now before me. Sharanam, come, asraye. Who should I go to for protection? Who should I go to for shelter? So she's showing symptoms of surrender. But that means previously she wasn't. So yes, she was all of those things, but that's symptomatic of not being surrendered. Right? The Bhagavatam teaches us primarily, or one of the things that it teaches us, is how to be a surrendered devotee. You know, we may be a devotee with Tilak and Sari or Dhoti, right? But if we're not surrendered to Krishna, then what's the point? Which is kind of what's being manifest here. Bhumi is externally showing symptoms of somebody who should be protected. Right? Devotees receive protection, as Prabhupada mentions in the beginning. Rake Krishna, Mare Krishna, Rake Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, then you can't be killed. But if Krishna wants to kill you, you can't be protected. Prabhupada says at the beginning of the purport, no one can protect the person whom Krishna is prepared to kill. And no one can kill the person whom Krishna protects. But, and so she wasn't surrendered, and so therefore, right? This is really one of the main points of the Bhagavatam. If you're surrendered, then you'll be protected. If you're not surrendered, watch out. Yeah. No, and we're all going to die. Right? We're all going to die. So, you know, forget about protection. At some point, And so the main point is, you know, be surrendered. And be surrendered to whatever happens. So here, Bhumi's asking the question. She's asking the question, but it's a rhetorical. This is a rhetorical question. Who do I go to for protection? What's the answer? Nobody. No, only to you. Only to you. I can't go anywhere else for protection, so please protect me. Which is the mood of a devotee. And that's what Prabhupada's saying. She's showing the symptoms of full surrender before the Lord. Whether things are going well or whether things are going poorly, we are still surrendered to Krishna. We can't be fair weather friends. You know what a fair weather friend is? What's a fair weather friend?
Friends in happiness.
Friend in unwanted.
Yeah, you want your friends to stick with you. Through thick and thin. That's a symptom of a friend. Is when the going gets tough. But the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? Or they stick around, they don't tick off. So, and we see that. We see that manifest in it's the mood of Lord Chaitanya in the last prayer of the Sikshastikam, isn't it? This is the mood of a devotee. Whether you appear before me or whether you make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, I am completely surrendered to you. Right? So if things are good, we say, Jai Krishna. When things are bad, we say, oh, not fair. As if we're innocent. This is called pride. Right. What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. Every criminal in jail says that he was framed. Well, not everybody. But this is a common mentality. Whereas here we see with Bhumi, she's saying, you know, it's up to you. I am yours. You have created me. And so therefore, I am dependent upon you. And of course, the mood of the devotee is, I'm dependent upon you. What do you want me to do? Which is why in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, you know, Labha, labho, jaya, jayo. You know, whether you get something or you lose something, whether you win or you lose, we have to be equipoised. Because that's the nature of material existence. The nature of material existence is such that we'll be successful one day, or people will be telling you what a fantastic fellow you are, and then the next day they'll be telling you what a nonsense you are. Right? And you have to tolerate that. That's just the nature of material existence. You'll be successful, you'll have money in the bank, and everybody will be smiling, and then in due course it'll be taken away. It's the nature of it's the ebb and flow of material existence that one has to become detached from. And yet, at the same time, one has to be cognizant of one's spiritual identity, one's spiritual responsibilities, and still perform one's duties. You know, this is a symptom of love, although we don't see it as such. But being steady and consistent and reliable and even if there are difficulties, we're still surrendered to Krishna. And of course, we'll be tested. We'll be tested. The Prabhupada gives the example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Manasa deho geho. Manasa, my mind. Why Krishna says, manmana bhava mat bhakto. Always think of me and become my devotee. My dear Lord, whatever I have, even my mind. And here Prabhupada says, the center of all material necessities, our minds, right? My home, my body, manasa, deho, geho. Deho means the body, geho means house, right? It's in Bengali. I now surrender unto you. You are completely independent. Krishna is completely independent. He can do what he likes. And we have to be prepared for that eventuality. Krishna will look after us sometimes, and then other times it looks like he's completely abandoned us. Have you had that experience? Huh? Have you had that experience? Was it pleasant? But like Bhumi, how do you pray? See, what can happen? Here's the danger. We can become angry at Krishna for what we get. Anybody experience that? Krishna, what are you doing that to me for? I'm your surrendered servant. Why are you treating me so badly? Anybody had that experience? You get angry. And if it's not angry at Krishna, it'll be angry at your wife, angry at your husband, angry at your kids. If you're in the ashram, you'll blame the temple president or his wife. It'll be somebody. We can always blame the prime minister, right? Or we'll blame Krishna. We'll never say, oh, I deserve this. Actually, I deserve more than what I'm getting. This is the mood of a devotee is, I actually deserve more than what I'm getting now. I'm just getting a token of what I should be receiving. This is the humble mood of a devotee. The not so humble mood of a devotee is, what's going on here? This is not like, how can this be Krishna's plan? It's not my plan. Huh? It's quite a challenge. But we have to be careful, because we'll become resentful. Rather than surrendered, we become resentful. So, and also, you know, what do we do in times of difficulty? What's the appropriate response? Because, you know, it's not that we do nothing about our situation, but how do we respond appropriately to adjust things? There are six symptoms of surrender. Six items of surrender. Does anybody know what they are? Yes. Anu, what is it? Anukulyasya sankalpa, right? Pratikulyasya varjanam. Rakshishya titti visvaso. What's next? Gotritve varanam tata. Wow. I thought about that after reading this. Now, what are they? That's the Sanskrit. Accept that which is favourable, reject that which is unfavourable. Gotritve varanam tata. What's that? Shall we ask Google, Dave? I can't remember. That's an item I'm going to put in my Quizlet. The six symptoms of surrender. Let's just see. Six. Yes. 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 Before I could put it in, it comes up with six symptoms of surrender. How smart is Google? Here's a slideshow. Let's have a look. From Gita Coach. Accept one, acceptance of those things favourable to devotional service. What are some of the things favourable for devotional service? On the list here, the first one is prasadam. Japa, satsanga, association of devotees, adhyaya, study of the scriptures. Okay, I just want the short version that tells us what the six items are. This is going on forever. Here we go. Rejection of unfavourable things. Things that are unfavourable for Krishna consciousness. Well, actually, you know, Rupa Goswami gives us the favourable things. Utsahan nischayadarya tat kama pravartanat. And the things that are unfavourable. Atyahara prayasascha, prajaupo, niyamagraha. So if you want to find out, well, I guess there's many ways of defining them. But a good way to define them is looking at Rupa Goswami's analysis of enthusiasm, patience, determination. Tat-tat karma pravartanat means basically following the rules and regulations, following the regulated principles. Sangatyag, give up bad association. And satovritte means following in the footsteps of the previous devotees. These are the six items favourable. And then the items that are unfavourable, atyahara prayasascha, overeating, over-endeavour, greedy for material things. And janasanga, materialistic association. The one item that appears in both, avoid the association and avoid the association, right? Of asatsanga. The first symptom that Lord Chaitanya identifies in a devotee is asatsanga tyag. They give up the association of materialistic people. So we can understand it's mentioned twice. So that's a major obstacle to the successful practice of surrender is to associate with materialistic people. Right? And why is that? Because you We can judge a person by the company they keep. Right? You become like the people that you associate with. If you associate with the drunks in the park, what do you become? A drunk in the park. I used to live in a place called Port Augusta. And I used to see the black fellas sitting in the park, Gladstone Square. And they'd be sitting in a circle and they'd be passing the flagon around. You know what a flagon is? It's a big bottle of wine. And very sad, very sad. I used to be accosted by men, tears pouring down their face. And they'd give me 20 cents for a pie, mate. And this is because they were drinking methylated spirits. Yeah. Which is almost pure alcohol, but they, you know, they put poison in it. So it's very, very sad. So I got a graphic vision of what happens when you associate with the drunks in the park. Horrible. So bad association. We should avoid it. Asatsangatyag. So, what else? The negative items. Talking material things. Prajalpa. Just talking about nonsense things. Why Prabhupada says, you know, avoid newspapers because it's all prajalpa. Because right? that doesn't mean that we shouldn't know what's going on around the place. We shouldn't know who the Prime Minister is. We should. Those are basic things. Niyamagraha means too concentrated on following the rules and regulations and not being flexible. Or just forgetting them altogether. Right. So, positive things, negative things. The negative things to be avoided, the positive things to be embraced. Third, the conviction, having the conviction that Krishna will give protection. Krishna will give protection. We've got our lease on Crossways is running out in July, which is a bit of a, we have to sweat on that because Crossways is it's $1 million a year pretty much. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do when we close Crossways? Well, at this stage, we have to have faith that Krishna will protect us. Of course, we're looking for a new place. So if you see anything in the city or wherever that you think this for lease, it might make a good restaurant for Krishna, let us know.
Is Nokwa's book with extension?
What's that?
Is Nokwa's book with extension the lease?
No, it's a long story. No. No. The landlord wants to put in a lift in the building because there's 8 floors in the building. We can only use 3 or 4 at the moment. So he wants to put in a lift. And not only that, he wanted, we pay $90,000 a year for it at the moment. He wanted $300,000. So he wanted to put up the rent by $200,000. So that's, and we're going to have to pay more for a new location, but $300,000 is probably a little bit much. We replaced the lift in Gopal's. And the place was a mess. It was a mess. So there's no way that we could run our restaurant. And they're saying it's going to take 29 weeks. to build the lift. So we can't afford to not have our restaurant running for 29 weeks. Right? Make sense? So anyway, let's see. Krishna's got something better in store for us. We've just got to find out what it is. So we have to have faith that Krishna will give protection. And of course, we've got to go out and do the needful. Four, acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master. Which is somewhat similar. These two are similar, right? That Krishna will give us protection and that he's the controller, he's the master. He's in charge. You know, when I first started getting involved with management and Balaram, the previous temple president, in our discussions, I saw the tenuous state of existence in the finances of the temple, and I thought, how does he cope with that? How does he deal with that every week? You know, we need money, and every week it looks like we don't have enough. So how do we survive? I discovered later on how that happens. I have personal experience. But Krishna is in... I'll give a little example of this. When I was in Vrindavan this last trip, I felt very protected by Krishna in many ways. I didn't have a Chinchuripa to look after me, so that was a worry. Do you remember Kasturika? Remember, you know Kasturika. She's our good friend, but Kasturika was looking after me. I took that as Krishna's arrangement. But one day, it was Gaurakishore Das Babaji's disappearance day, right? And so it was a half day fast. And because I have, because my, I have insulin. What should we say? I have a metabolic disorder, diabetes, which means basically insulin is not working properly, and so I need to eat. Doctor's orders are don't fast because your sugar, you have a hypoglycemia, and I know the symptoms of hypoglycemia. You start getting shaky and confused, and you feel like you're going to faint. So I'd had something to eat in the morning, some nuts and some fruit, but it was midday time to, and I was teaching and I was starting to get a bit wobbly, so I was thinking, oh, what'll I do? And I didn't have anything with me. I hadn't brought it. Usually if I go anywhere, I take a few muesli bars with me or something like that. But it's a codicil. I didn't want to break a codicil. So I was starting to feel a bit wobbly. I even went outside. Students were doing something. And I was thinking, what do I do? Shall I go back to my apartment and get something? Or shall I stick it out? And but then everybody came up to me and he said, Prabhu, do you want some bananas? Do you want some bananas? I said, great, get me a banana quick. Because he's probably feeling the same way I was. Devotee from Noida, who I know. So I was just thinking, simple things like that. I needed to have something to eat. I didn't want to leave my class because obviously the things were going on. And then a devotee turned up and said, do you want a banana? That's all I needed was a banana. And, you know, over the road from the Goshala, there's banana sensei coming. So I felt protected by Krishna. I mean, it's a simple thing. It's a little thing. But even little things can increase our faith in Krishna. Things that the devotees do. Because sometimes You can be stuck in the middle of nowhere with no one and nothing to eat. And then even the grass looks tempting, I tell you. Everything looks like, is there something here I can eat? I'll tell you another story. It was a warm day, a very warm day, and had not eaten a lot of carbs that day. Very low GI diet that day, right? And I went for a walk down to down along Sandridge down to Webb Point. You know where Webb Point, where the docks are? So I walked all the way down there, and it was a warm day, but this was at 7 o'clock at night. And so by 7 o'clock at night, it had got very chilled. It got very cold, right? So I started off feeling okay, but by the time I got down to Port Melbourne and beyond, it had gotten cold, then I realised, I'm in trouble. Right, because your sugar level drops. And then, and I didn't have my mobile phone with me, right? So I couldn't ring up Ginger River. Hey, Ginger River, help! So I'm walking down the street and in Garden City, and I thought, what am I going to do? I am finished here. I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to have to knock on people's doors. That's what I did. So I knocked on the door, and a fellow came over, and I told him what the situation was. I said, could I beg an apple? He said, sure, no worries. So he gave me an apple. I had the apple. That got me to Bay Street. And then I started to feel wobbly again, because apple is good. You get an instant sugar hit. And it's good sugar, but you know, you don't get it very far on an apple. So I was walking down Graham Street, and there was a couple sitting on the veranda, and I said to them, I thought, okay, got to beg again. So they gave me some sultanas and nuts, and they were from New Zealand, so we had a chat about the temple. They'd been to the temple in New Zealand and eat it, go bowls or crossways or something like that. So anyway, Krishna will, you know, I learned you can't be too proud, especially when it's a life or, you know, in that situation you feel like you're going to die. That's how you feel. That's where for some, and for me it was, that's where the panic attacks were coming from. Low sugar levels in your body saying, "Whoa, feed me." And I wasn't used to it then. I was used to fasting. So for some people with diabetes, especially when the sugar levels are out of control. So once I started eating three meals a day regularly, then that went away because the sugar levels are maintained. And the trick is to keep them at a basic level so they don't get too high. Because the long term problems from diabetes, it comes from high sugar levels all the time, and it clogs up the system. But anyway, that little incident in Vrindavan taught me that actually Krishna's looking after us. And even in the streets of the big city of Port Melbourne, you can just knock on somebody's door and they'll give you an apple, right? Which is, I was thinking, okay, I'm now performing my brahminical duties. And I'm asking for a donation. So Krishna will protect us, and Krishna is, we're dependent upon his mercy. This is something that we can experience every day. Okay. Full self-surrender. We have no other interest separate from the interest of Krishna. Right? How often do you feel like that? Do you ever forget that during the day? Most of the time we're tuned into what's in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
At least I am, I have to be honest. Right? What's in it for me? That's the FM station that we're tuned into, WWIFM. Was it WWIFM? What's in it for me? That's what we're tuned into. But actually, a surrendered devotee is thinking, what's in it for Krishna? What is Krishna's interest in this situation that I should be pursuing, not my own interest? This is a symptom of surrender that sometimes we don't have. Huh? Self-surrender, it says here, self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent, which is what Bhumi's acknowledging here. You've created me. You've created the material energy that has made me. And even though I'm the supporter of everyone, I'm still your servant. Because sometimes we get a bit carried away with ourselves. We start thinking, I'm important. Whereas we should be thinking that our activities and our desires are not. The devotee is completely dependent upon Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. This is a surrendered. Here, this is from the Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification which arise from mental concoction. And you know, how often do material desires pop up in your mind on a daily basis? How often? Not at all? Not at all. Oh, that's good. Or occasionally? Occasionally or every minute? What is it? Huh? And when his mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, in other words, Atma, we're Atmarama, self-satisfied, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. And Prabhupada says here, a Paramahamsa has no program for sense gratification. He's interested only in satisfying the senses of the Lord. And then the last item, a symptom of surrender is meek and humble. So not proud, but humble. Trinadupi suni china toro reva sahishnana manadena kitaniya sadahari. So offers respects to others. More tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass. These are the symptoms, six items of surrender. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Hadi Purush Ji. Yes.
We also see
Rupa Goswami recommends giving up, and Krishna does too. What is that verse? Sangha Sanjayate Kama. Yeah. We should watch out who we associate with.
At the same time, we see that for getting further, let's say, you recommend that it's 1 minute to-do list. Like, we take guidance from professionals outside
yeah.
for doing
But that's like, that's yes, you know, I have friends, I've made friends with people who are not devotees, right? What we call sadhakas, anyway, right? Not that they're not, they're actually devotees, but because they're not inimical to Krishna consciousness. And the association that you take from them is positive for the performance of devotional service. And so therefore, we need to have a little nuanced understanding of what sat sangha and asat sangha. Because sometimes with devotees, even, a person may be a prakriti bhakta, and so therefore should be avoided, yet they're a devotee. But because their tendency is towards material behaviour, or they may fall victim to sense gratification, then we avoid those kind of devotees even. Right. So what is asat sangha? Needs to be a subtle understanding. And so, you know, when we go to the doctor because we're getting our health fixed, that doesn't mean we don't go to him because he's not a devotee. He's helping us. Right. But there are, you know, there are some friends that we avoid. I had a friend who I had lived with for quite a few years, shared a house with for quite a few years, and some of those friends I avoided fastidiously when I became a devotee, for good reason. You know, they were bad association. Anyway, I bumped into this fellow after living in Melbourne for some years, and I went to see him, and the first thing he did was he rolled up a joint and he said, "Here, you want to have a smoke?" And so I realised why I didn't associate with him. I never saw him again. Right? So, you know, he's a friend, somebody that I, but also not a friend. Huh? So we avoid people like that. But there are some people who are not necessarily devotees, but they're friendly and they're supportive and they're respectful. They wouldn't ask us here, come on. They might do things that are not appropriate that we wouldn't do, but they don't encourage us, but they'll help us in the pursuance of our service. So therefore we can give and accept that which is favourable. Again, if we look at it, that's favourable for them and for us in the pursuance of devotional practice. Right? I had a friend I haven't seen for a long time, but we used to buy our computers from this fellow, and I became quite friendly with him. And he was always respectful. Always respectful. And I remember one time I rang up his business. I used to buy computers from him out of his lounge room. His business was, you know, out of his lounge room originally. But now he's a, I don't know if he's still doing it, but he's, now he's big premise in Waverley. And he's a Lenovo distributor. He's distributing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of, you know, when he delivers people's computer, when he delivers organizations' computers now, it's by the pallet load, right? And I remember one time I rang up Gordon, that was right, Gordon was his name, who was his salesperson. And very often, David, he wasn't in the business, he wasn't there, because he's, you know, driving his Porsche and managing his winery and stuff. He's quite very well off, made a lot of money. And I was ringing up Gordon, and he didn't know me by my devotion. He didn't address me by my devotional name. He used to call me by my legal name. But anyway, I rang up Gordon because I needed to buy a computer or some computers, and David was listening. Gordon had me on hands free. And then David called out, "Hey, Adi Ruda, how's it going?" Right? So, you know, he I wouldn't socialize with him, but I was friendly with him, and he was respectful of the devotees. And so, and he, you know, we had a friendship. He would stay up. I'd have a computer problem, and I would hassle him so much, and then he would stay up all night. We'd stay up, you know, come in at say 6 o'clock, and we'd try to fix a problem, and I'd come home at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he didn't charge me for any of these things. He just did it. And that's, we became friends in that regard. And I would preach, you know, I wouldn't preach to him, you know, Sala down under it, judge out. But, you know, you get to, by that close association, you can give your association to people and they respect it, right? But I wouldn't socialise, right, you know. So subtle, Mahatmaji.
Yeah, yeah. Once Prabhupada, there was a book marathon going on in New York, and some of the boys told Prabhupada that we are not getting much success in daytime. So there is a pub around, and they work from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. So are we allowed to go? He thought, and he said, well, you can go, but come back.
Yeah, there's a saying, you know, if you see Lord Nityananda going into the pub, that doesn't mean he's going in for a drink. Yeah, you know, in my, in my first 4 or 5 years of, from 79, I suppose, 1979 to 1983, so 4 years, I visited every pub in Victoria and Tasmania. Every pub. We used to go and sell candles and paintings. And
still, you are the temple president.
Yeah, we used to make money. We made a lot of money. People would pull your wig, and we used to go with wigs too. It was silly, you know. I say, hey mate, I'll give you $10 if you take your wig off. Or sometimes I just pull your wig off. Or anyway. Yeah. You know, it's better that we go out. We don't have to do those things anymore. We don't have to do those things. We can go and do Harinam and book distribution. Why restaurants are so important for us? Because it's commercial activity, yes, but it's distributing prasadam, right? And so we make money, which is always, you know, if you haven't got money, what can you do? What can you do? If you haven't got money, what can you do? Nothing. Yeah, nothing. So you need money. You need money?
Yeah.
Anybody here doesn't need money? I'll get some tips from you on how you do it. Right? We all need money. And Prabhupada didn't, you know, you can't preach if you haven't got money. Right? So this is why restaurants are so important for us, and really the basis upon which we can maintain much of what we do. And we are fortunate because we have two restaurants that, you know, are average, make, you know, profit of $800,000-$900,000 a year. We need that. We don't. That's why Crossway, not having Crossways, is a bit of a worry. We'll get another location, but I'm not worried about it, but I am worried about it. So I thought I'd share it with you.
It's true.
Distribute the anxiety.
When
is it? July. We got time. We got time to. We'll find a place.
Can't do government assistance.
Why? What? Nah. Well, the thing is, government assistance, yes, we may be able to get some assistance, but We don't want to be dependent upon the government. We're independent. Because, you know, if you get assistance from the government, then they say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other thing. Huh? But that's a possibility. In finding a place where, you know. We provide employment for devotees. We make money. We also can employ devotees, so that creates stability within your community. Previously, we used to sell paintings and stickers and cookies and T-shirts and sweatshirts and hard work. The first 5 years, I guess, of my devotional life was out on the street selling paintings and stickers and cookies, and I hated it, you know. We don't have to do that anymore.
When is that? When is that? Which year?
78 till 83. 1983, I started selling full sets of books. So I was able to sell a lot of books. That was. And so, but our economy has changed. And also, we get a lot of, you know, we get $1 million a year comes just from all of you. In the hundi or donations, whatever. Huh? So we're in a situation now where we don't have to do those things. But in the early days of ISKCON, the devotees had to sell books. They sold books or they sold incense. Huh? And it was a struggle. It was survival. Huh? And you've got it now, it all looks easy. It kind of looks easy. But as you know, we've got to this point only as a result of a lot of struggle, a lot of hard work. And have a guess what? The hard work is not going to go away. Huh? I don't know if you've noticed. Who's married here? Who's successfully married? He's successfully, right? Your family's coming back to Melbourne, right? Kijai. Isn't it? But has a struggle stopped? No, but it's easy for a devotee, isn't it? We don't have to worry. We know now, by this stage, daughter's married, looked after by the son-in-law, another grandchild on the way, right? So, lots of anxiety, right? But Krishna's going to look after us, isn't he?
Yes.
This is surrendered. That's why he's smiling. He's smiling on the outside, but inside he's thinking, what is going to happen? Right? We already had problems with the first grandson. Yeah, a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. But we know Krishna's going to look after us. But the work doesn't stop. Right? Ask the mums. Ask the mums in the house. Housewives' duties never stop. Never. Huh? Go to bed worrying about something, wake up, what's happening? Isn't it? That must be the case, isn't it? It is. I know, I feel. You can roll over and pretend that it doesn't exist. That just makes it worse. And the other thing that we get from our restaurant is friends. We make so many friends. You know, we influence society by prasadam distribution. So it's not a material activity. It's a spiritual activity. And why we accept it? Because it's favourable for our it's part of our surrender, I guess, is to do those activities. Okay, I think we should finish here. Gajaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktavinoda Ki Jai.